Today's shiur is Masechet Bava Metzia, Daf Ayin Tesh, and we will begin on Daf Ayin Tesh, Amar Aleph, 11 lines from the top. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Barafun Amar Rav, Hasoicher Eschamor Lirkov Aleph, if somebody rents a donkey with the purpose to ride on it, Meisla B'chatzi Derech, and the donkey dies in the middle of the way, Noisla Schar Shechatzi Derech, the renter has to pay the owner for half the way, and he only has a right to complain for what happened here. And as the Mefarshim point out, the focus of this Gemara is what kind of issue, or is there an issue that the renter has with the owner. The Gemara is not focused on the owner's situation with the renter, that the owner maybe should be able to complain to the renter that the animal got damaged and died halfway through the trip because the renter didn't treat the animal properly. The Gemara is only focused on the rent, on the renter's claim to the owner, not on any claim of the owner to the renter. The Rambam learns this Gemara that speaking, as the words of the Gemara just said, regarding a situation where the animal was rented lirkovala, to ride upon it. However, as we become evident, as we learn the Gemara, the way most Rishonim, beginning with Rashi, learn the Gemara, the focus here is actually regarding an animal that's been used to transport items. And therefore, ask the Gemara exactly, heichidami, exactly what was the situation that happened here. Idishchich lagure, if the renter could find another animal, terumis maivirte. So why does he have a right to complain? He just used the other animal. Idaloishchich lagure, if the renter cannot find another animal, agraboilamesavle, so you ought to be agraboilamesavle, does he have to pay rent? He certainly shouldn't have to pay rent if he can't find another animal to get him to his destination. Ask the Mefarshim, even if we'll say that he can find another animal, certainly the bother of having to have to find another animal is not something that he wants or anticipated. So isn't that enough of a reason that he should have tarumis, even if he could find another animal to rent? And the Mefarshim asked this question even one step deeper. They say, we learned at the beginning of our perek, that if a worker backs out of a job in the middle of the day, even though, as we learned, the halach is that he may back out of the job in the middle of the day, the employer could have complaint. Why did you walk out of the job? So why is this any different? So I saw a number of answers. The Mashal answers that here we're referring to a situation that there was an onus, something beyond the control of the owner of the animal that caused the animal to become wounded and not usable, and therefore the Gemara is saying we can't have a complaint against there's no reason for complaint if the renter could find another animal. Another pshat that I saw, that our Gemara actually refers to a situation where it's very easy to find a second animal, and since it's so easy to find a second animal, he has no right to be upset. Another pshat that the Maram Shik suggests, yes, there is a bother, says the Maram Shik, in having to find a second animal. But on the other hand, you have the benefit that you have a fresh new animal that wasn't working, that didn't travel all this way. So the benefit of having a new animal outweighs the pain of having to look for a new animal, and that's why if he can find a new animal, he has no right to complain. The Maram Shik says another teretz. The Maram Shik says that the obligation of finding a new animal actually is the owner's obligation. So since it's the owner that's going to find a new animal, there's no reason why the renter should be upset. So what is the case the Rav is talking about? Asked the Gemara. Answers the Gemara, L'olam d'lo shchich l'guri. We're referring to a situation where we cannot find another animal. However, Mishum de Amalei, still we could the owner to demand that the renter pay half the rent. Shunda amalei ilabayis l'meisat hocha. Let's say this city would have been your destination. Lav agrabayis l'meisav. Wouldn't you have to pay me for renting the donkey to arrive at this destination? And therefore, you should pay me that prorated fee. Ask Tosfos the obvious question. But this is not the city where I wanted to arrive and bring my merchandise to. I wanted to bring it to a different city. So one tarot study gives is that I originally wanted to take it to another city, but that doesn't preclude me from being able to sell it in this city. And therefore, since I could sell it in this city, it's not considered a situation that I shouldn't pay the rent for arriving till this city. Another teretz that Taisu gives is that sin, that what the Gemara means is not that we can't find another animal to rent. We could find another animal, but the other animal will be more expensive. And therefore, since he could find another animal to rent, he should pay for getting till this destination, and now rent himself another animal to get to his final destination. The Rashba says that it was very common to have days in which the market was open, and by saying that I got delayed because I couldn't get to my destination, that really isn't much of a claim, because if you miss one day of the market, so you'll arrive for the next day of the market, and therefore it isn't such a strong issue. Says the Gemara, Heichid Dami, continues the Gemara in analyzing this case, Ida Amalei Chamor Stam, if when they got into this transaction, the owner didn't specify any donkey. Hachayv L'Hamalei Chamor Acher. So why, if the donkey dies, doesn't he have to replace the donkey? He didn't say it's going to have to be specifically this donkey. Ida Amalei Chamor Zeh, asked the Gemara, and if it's referring to a situation where he did specify this donkey, Im Yesh B'Demer Likach, so why, if the animal that died could be sold, can't you just sell the carcass of the animal and let the renter, Yikach, buy another animal and continue on his journey? Answers the Gemara, like Tzricha, we're referring to a situation B'Sheim B'Demer Likach. The value of the carcass is not enough that you could be able to buy another animal with that money. So ask the Gemara, we could understand that there may not be enough money in the carcass to buy another animal, but there certainly should be enough money in that carcass to be able to rent another animal. And therefore ask the Gemara, Imiesh B'Demer Liskar, if you could sell the carcass and use the proceeds to rent another animal, Yiskor, the renter should be able to do that. Why does the Rav say that he has to pay for the rent till here and only have complaints for the rest of the way? Answers the Gemara, Rav Latame. Rav is following his opinion. Dama Rav, Lemechlin and Karna. We cannot take the carcass and just use it to rent another animal, which will cause that the principal will be completely consumed. According to Rav, we can only use that money to buy another animal that the principal will be left for the owner, but not for rent, which leaves the original owner with nothing. Ditmar, as we learned, if somebody rents a donkey and it dies midway through the trip, Amrav, Im Yesh B'Demer Likach, if there's enough value left in this carcass to buy another animal, Yikach, that's what he should do. Liskar, but if there's only enough value left in this carcass that he could rent another animal, Al Yiskar, he may not rent another animal because it leaves the owner with nothing. V'Shmuel Amar, Af Liskar Yiskar, even rental is acceptable. B'Maika Mifka, and what is the basis of the machlokes? As we explained, Rav Sova Loi Mechlin and Karna, we can't use up the principal, so using the taking the proceeds of the carcass to rent another animal, which will leave the owner with nothing, is unacceptable. The Shmuel Sova, Shmuel's opinion, however, is the Mechlin and Karna, we can't consume the principal if it's used for the same purpose, and therefore we should do that. Of course, point out to Rishonim that Shmuel certainly agrees that in a situation where we can use the money to buy something that will have principal left for the original owner, that is far preferable to a situation to rent and leave no principal to the original owner. Ask the Gemara, Meisvei, the following Braisa teaches us. But before we begin the Braisa, we need to review what we learned in the previous parak, Ezo Neshech. We learned that if somebody lends someone else money, and the borrower gives the lender a mashkin, the loiva gives the malva a mashkin. So if the malva, there are circumstances through which the malva may eat the proceeds if it's a tree or a piece of property. We learned actually two methods. One was mashkin nachyaisa, which we said that the malva and the loiva establish upfront a certain value every year that will be deducted from the loan where Malvi eats proceeds from that tree or that property. And then we learned Mashkanta de Sura. Mashkanta de Sura is that the Malva receives a mashkin for the loiva, and that the Malva will be on this property for a certain amount of years, and after those years are up, the Malva will return the mashkin to the loiva, and he owes him, and the loiva no longer owes the Malva any money. And most Rishonim explain that the Braisa that our Gemara is referring to a situation of a mashkanta the Sura. Says the Gemara, Yavashila and Nixus. So if the tree that was given as a mashkin to the Malva dried up, was cut down, Shnei Masurimba, both the Malva and the Loiva cannot chop the tree and use the wood. Kate Yasa, rather what should be done? Take the tree and purchase with it a piece of property, and the malva continues to eat the peiris until the years are up. Now, ask the Gemara. We know that any field that's sold in Eretz Yisrael, by definition, cannot be a permanent sale. It can only be a sale until Yoivel. So here, when the malva buys a piece of property with the proceeds of this tree that dried up, he's buying something that's going to go hadra ar lamara. That property will go back to its original owner. So we have a situation of kakalya karna, where the principal is being used up. And yet, we see that the Braisa says that this is permissible. How will Rav explain this Braisa that says that we can never use the proceeds to buy something that won't leave the owner with principal? Answers the Gemara. Yovel is going to come. Answers the Gemara. Hachamai skinen, dezavim leila shitin shnin. It wasn't bought forever. It was sold only for 60-year term. And since it's sold for 60-year term, there the din of Yovel doesn't apply. Damer. Rav Chizda Amar Rav Ketina. Menayin l'maychus odeil shishim shana. How do we know that if you sell a property for 60 years, she'ena chazeres b'yoivel, the dinim of yoivel don't apply? Shenemar, for oretz lo simoch l'tzmisus. The Torah, when it speaks about yoivel, says you're not allowed to sell a piece of property permanently. Mi she'en sham yoivel n'tzmesus. Property which without yoivel would remain by the buyer forever, yesham, Yeshem Yovel and its messes. So Yovel comes along and says that it shouldn't remain there permanently. Yotzazu, however, in this case, Shaf Bish Ancient Yovel, even if there won't be Yovel, ain't in its messes, and won't remain permanently by the buyer, and therefore the dinner of Yovel doesn't apply here. The Paiskim discuss, the Mishnah, the Gemara, when it gives an example of a situation where Yovel won't apply is when a piece of property was sold for 60 years. What would be if the piece of property was sold for thousands of years? But again, there was a term to it, 1,000 years, 2,000 years. Will the same then apply? Some Paiskim say it would make a difference 60 years or 1,000 years. Other Paiskim, however, suggest that there is a nafkamina. They give two explanations why. One is, if I sell a piece of property and the sale is for 60 years, so although 60 years is a long time, the original owner's name is still attached to this property. Because people will say, at the end of 60 years, it's going to revert back to the original owner. However, in a situation where it's sold for 1,000 years, for 2,000 years, the original owner's name is no longer connected to it. Who thinks in terms of 1,000 and 2,000 years? And therefore, the dinim of Yovel would still apply. Another explanation why, if it was sold for such a long term, the dinim of Yovel would apply is very nice. Pshat. When I sell something for 60 years, when I sell a property for 60 years versus selling it forever, so I won't get the same price. And therefore, it made a difference that it was only sold for 60 years versus being sold forever. However, if somebody sells a property for 1,000 years, for 2,000 years, he's not going to get less of a price than if he would have sold it forever, because nobody thinks past that term anyway. And therefore, the dinim of Yovel would apply. The Rishonim also point out, based on this Gemara, that from here we see that one cannot sell a property with a stipulation that the dinim of Yovel ought not to apply. Because if not, if that would be the din, then the Gemara could have said a very simple teretz that's referring to a situation that one made such a stipulation. The fact that the Gemara didn't give such a teretz is a raya that you can't make such a stipulation. There is a debate amongst the Mefarshim, amongst the Rishonim already, what will be the din by Shemitah? Could somebody lend money to someone else? Amanash ein shvius misham tesoi, will that loan be effective or not? Ask the Gemara, so we said that the din of Yovel isn't an issue here, because it was sold for 60 years. However, ask the Gemara, we're back to where we started. Soif soif lechimata shitin shnin, when 60 years are up, Kahadra Aralamara. This property will go back to its original owner, the Kokalya Karna. So we're buying something that the principal will be used up. And we're saying that according to Rav, you can never replace it. You can never buy something that the principal will not remain with the owner. So why is this an Eitzah? Answers the Gemara, Halacha Ma'iskinen, Bezman She'eni Yovel Noig. This price is referring to a situation where Yovel doesn't, nowadays when Yovel doesn't apply. And since Yovel doesn't apply, when somebody buys the piece of property, it will not revert back to its original owner. The Rashba says that the Gemara could have given a teretz that's referring to Chutz Laretz, where Yovel never applies. However, says the Rashba, since the Braisa was written in Eretz Yisrael, the Gemara preferred to give a teretz which applies even in Eretz Yisrael. Hachanam Mstabra, says the Gemara, this is what makes sense, that's referring to a situation when Yovel doesn't apply. This Akadatach Ivel can explain that the Braisa is referring to a situation, but Zman Shi Yovel Noig, when Yovel applies, and the Braisa is teaching us, on Machlin and Karna, that we are allowed to use the proceeds to buy something that the principal will be consumed. So why do we have to go through the bother of buying a piece of property? Why not just nitzachil etzive, let the malva chop up the tree, finishkale, and take the wood and use the tree? The fact that we had to go through the process of buying property is a raya that we try to do something where the principal will remind. Answers the Gemara Mishum Halakasha. Zimnan, it's preferable to buy property according to everybody than to just use up the wood. Because let's say we're talking in a place where Yovel doesn't apply. Does apply. But how is Zimnan, Shnei Mishkant Mekam Yovel? Sometimes the term of the Mashkin will end before Yovel comes. And the Liva will still have use of this property. Or inami the matel ezuzi. Sometimes the loiva will be able to get hold of money, of funds. Or parakle aber chenishnim mikam yovel, and they'll be able to redeem the property and have use of the property. And as we said earlier, everybody agrees that if we could set up a system where the loiva will get some use of it, it's better than just to consume it completely with the loiva having nothing from it. Tan Rabban, says the Braisa, Hasaychas Asfina V'Tavala B'Chatzi Derech. If somebody rents a boat and it sinks midway through the trip, Rav Nosson Amar, Im Nosson La Yitel, if the rent already paid the fee, they can't take it back from the owner of the boat, V'Loim Nosson, but if he didn't pay yet, Liyitain, he doesn't pay it. There's a Machloikis Rishonim, how to understand this Gemara. Some Rishonim explain this is what it seems that Rashi learns this way, that for half of the trip that I had the boat, I certainly am entitled, I have to pay the owner. The entire issue here is about the second half of the trip. Tysus seems to disagree, and Tysus says that it's referring to the entire trip, that since the boat sank, the question is, does he have to pay anything? Says the Gemara, Hechidami, exactly what is the situation that we're referring to? Ilema v'sfinazu v'yayin stam, that they stipulated this specific boat, but they didn't say he's going to take any specific wine. Im nasin, then even if he paid the fee, a milo yito, why isn't the renter entitled to get back his fee? Namely, havli sfinta, give me the boat that you contracted me to provide me. That nama sin achamra, I still have wine to bring. So since he has such a strong claim, he should be entitled to get back his rent. Ella is referring to a situation b'sfina stam v'yayin zeh, where the owner didn't specify a boat, but the renter said he's going to take specifically this wine. So then I asked the Gemara, Imlay Nosun, then even if the renter hasn't yet paid, Amaylayitin, why shouldn't he have to pay the rent? Namely, Havli Ahu Chamra, the owner should be able to say, give me the wine, and already the Vanamay Sinasvinta, since you can't give me that wine that you contracted to take, I should not be held responsible. And the Nesiva says, one should not understand this Gemara to say that if I rented a boat with the stipulation that I'm going to carry a specific load of wine on it, I can't carry a different load. Of course I could carry a different load, provided that it doesn't cause any more wear and tear on the boat. Here, however, we're referring to a situation where there's a sichsuch, where there's a dispute between the owner and the renter, and that's why here he could say, since you stipulated that you're going to be carrying yain zeh, this specific wine, if bring the wine, and if you can't bring that wine, pay. Amra Papa, so therefore says Rav Papa, our Gemara is referring to a situation where Lamishkach Labasfina Zu V'yayin Zu, where he said, I'm going to bring this boat and this wine. Since neither party is able to perform his part of the deal, therefore, the halacha is that if he already paid, he doesn't get back his money, but if he didn't pay, he doesn't have to pay. Avo b'svina stam, v'yayin stam, if it would be a situation where it was not specified the boat, nor the specific load would be specified, since each party is still able to fulfill his part of the contract, as neither the boat nor the specific cargo was specified, if they don't want to do anything anymore, the rental fee is divided. If the rental fee was fully prepaid, then the owner has to pay half the fee, and if he hasn't paid anything yet, he has to pay half of the fee. Seder is showing him, based on this Gemara, that if one of them, let's say the one of the parties is prepared to bring, let's say the owner is prepared to bring another boat, or the renter is prepared to bring other cargo, then the halacha would be that the one who can't fulfill his condition would take the loss. Says the Gemara, Tanaban, Hasaycha es asfina, if somebody rents a boat, upark la b'chatzi aderech, and he unloads it in the middle of the way. He gives him the rental fee for that half of the way. And the owner could only have a complaint against the renter for doing this. Ask the Gemara. If it's referring to a situation where the owner could find somebody else to lease the boat, so then why does he have any complaints? He'll have another customer, have another renter. If I took my merchandise off halfway through the trip and he can't, and the renter, the owner, I mean, cannot find anybody else, so then he ought to be able to pay. The renter should have to pay the entire loss of the owner. And the Mefarshim point out, of course, he can take off a discount. We spoke about this earlier in the parak, how much the owner would be willing to have his boat empty versus having it full. Says the Rishonim, based on this Gemara, that here we see that if another renter could be found that would rent the boat for the second part of the trip, that then there's no issue, and the owner has no issue, has no right to have an issue with the renter. So the Rambam, based on this Gemara, says that if somebody rents a home, he could sublease the home to a different tenant, provided that the tenant is not bigger family or a different type of person than the original renter. Even though we learned in the Gemara earlier on Daf Chav Tes, that if I rent something from you, I have no right to sublet it. That says the Rambam. There it's referring to a situation where the person can claim that the second person is not as trustworthy as the first person. Ain with Saini, as we learned, the original owner could say, Ain with Saini Shie Pigdoini Biyad Acher. But when it comes to renting a ship, where the owner of the ship or the crew of the ship always accompany the ship, so there's no concern of Ain Saini Shie Pigdoini Biyad Acher, and therefore you can't prevent the original owner from subletting the ship. And therefore, says the Rambam, the same would be with an apartment. The Magen Mishnah questions this comparison, because as we just said, what's unique about a ship is that the ship, the crew travels along and makes sure that nothing will be done to damage the ship. Whereas where an apartment is rented, it's the people who live in the apartment live there by themselves. And there perhaps the landlord could say, I'm not satisfied with the tenant you subleased the apartment to. And in fact, because of this, the Ravid argues with the Rambam that the halacha is that one may not sublease an apartment without specific permission from the original landlord. So again, back to our Gemara. What will be the halacha? What is the case where the person who rented the boat left the middle of the trip, where the Brisa says that the owner has Ein lo elo of terumas? Can he find another passenger, another person that will rent the boat or not? Says the Maraloyim to Kamashkech Lagura. He can't find somebody else. Amai is like terumas. So why does the owner have any complaint if another renter can be found? Mishum rafs of the sfinta. Because the boat gets ruined from loading and unloading cargo. Ask the Gemara if that's a factor. This is a valid complaint that the boat is getting ruined. It has a financial implication. Why does he only have tarumas? Elamai parka. Answers the Gemara, what does the Braisa mean when it says parka? The parka l'ta'ana begavei. It means that the deal, the rental transaction between the owner and the renter refers to a situation that the renter pays by the amount of cargo he puts on the boat. And here what happened was that he put on, the, in the middle of the way, he put on additional cargo. That means they did not expressly stipulate how much cargo he would put on or where he put would put on the cargo. He had a right to put on as much cargo as he wanted, so that we're referring to a situation that he put on additional cargo in the middle of the way, and he has to pay for that additional cargo. So ask the Gemara, my terumas. So why does the owner have any complaint against him for doing this? Answers the Gemara, Rishim Shinui Datam. They set out to sail with a certain amount of cargo. The owner did not assume that any extra cargo would be brought on board, and therefore he planned a trip based on that amount of cargo. And now, by the extra cargo being brought on the trip, he has to maybe change course, which causes him some discomfort. Inami, lashli seira. Because there's extra cargo, he's going to have to use bigger rope when he wants to schlep the boat into port. And as the Rishonim explain, along the way, and we'll see this concept in the next Gemara again, rope is more expensive than if he were to buy the rope in his original hometown. So if he was aware up front that this was going to happen, he would have bought the right amount of rope that he should have for this amount of cargo. By the renter only adding the cargo along the way, where the owner will now have to buy more expensive rope, that is a cause for tarumas. Tanrabban. Hasoichas chamar lirkavala. If somebody rents a donkey to ride on it, soicher menichal of ksusoi, the renter could put upon the donkey his clothing, lugnosoi is his flak, umazonish loisadarach, all the food that he needs for the trip. Bekan ve'eloch, anything more, chamar ma'akavalov. The driver can prevent him from putting on, not to weaken the animal. Chamar, the donkey driver, may put on the donkey, menichal of sarim v'tevin, barley and straw, and as much food he needs for that day, anything more, of course the Rishonim point out that referring to a situation where this won't cause extra too much tzar bal chayim. Whenever there's an issue of tzar bal chayim, that is the first concern, and we can never overload the animal. Ask the Gemara, hechidami. The Rishonim point out that when we say that the renter could put on food, he could even put on food for way coming home. Ask the Gemara. Hey Chidami. So now we're talking about the provisions for the trip. What is the situation? If we could find food along the way, so then Chamar Namilakiv. So the driver should prevent the passenger from putting on so much food. He could buy food along the way. If it's impossible, we can't find food along the way, so why could the renter prevent the driver from bringing along too much food? Answers the Gemara, food could be purchased where they stay every night, overnight in a hotel. However, the driver is accustomed to traveling, and he knows that where to buy food at the right price, and therefore he should only take along food for one day. However, Soicher, the renter, who doesn't live on the road, Lav Dakel Mitrachel Mizban, he doesn't know where to buy food, and certainly doesn't know where to buy food at the right price, and therefore he's allowed to take along food for the entire journey. Tanabon, Hasoicher Sechamor, Likola Ish. If somebody rented a donkey for a man to ride on it, a woman may not ride on it, because women were heavier than men. Isha, if somebody rented a donkey for a woman to ride on it, a man is allowed to ride on it, v'isha, and when a woman, when it's rented for a woman to ride on it, ben gdoyla ben ktana, you can allow a bigger woman or a smaller woman, a filim uberes, a pregnant woman, the filim nekes, even a woman who's nursing. Because it's understood that they're nursing women, and when we speak here, explain the Mefarshim, about a nursing woman, that means she's allowed to take along a baby with her. In fact, I saw the Paiskim use this brisa to discuss an interesting shaila. There was a situation where Reuven and Shimon became partners in a business. And the terms of this partnership were that Reuven's wife would also work in the business. And Reuven's wife has a baby, a young baby, and she couldn't find a babysitter or whatever, that, and she brought her baby along with her to work. And Shimon says, when we agreed that your wife would come to work, it certainly was understood that she's not bringing her child along with her. What is the din? Say to Paiskim, that as our Gemara teaches us, when you have a nursing woman, it's common that the nursing woman, where she goes, she takes the baby along with her, and therefore, if it isn't a regular situation, that something happened that she had to bring along her baby one day, it's not something that should be done on a permanent basis, it's permissible. And some place can go on to say, not only if it's a situation where the baby is actually nursing, but even if the baby is still within the age where babies nurse up to that age, 2 years old, 5 years old, the different shiurim, the mother on a non-regular basis could bring the baby along to work. Ask the Gemara, hash the manika amrit, if we're saying that you could have the mother and its baby ride on the animal, muberes mubayi, certainly a pregnant woman who's not bringing two people, it's only the woman herself, should be mutter. So why did the Bryce have to point out both muberes and manika? Answers the Gemara, amra papa, the Bryce is referring to a situation where you have a woman who is muberes v'manika kamer. She's both pregnant and nursing, so she's a heavier woman because she's pregnant, and she's also bringing along a baby, and all of that, if it was rented to a woman without stipulating who the woman is mutter. Amra baya, says Abayi Shmamina, based on this Gemara we can learn, Binasa Akarsa Tikla, the size of the belly is where the weight is. As the Mefarshim explained, according to Rashi, the way to understand the Gemara is as follows. We already said that a large or a small woman could ride on this donkey. So why does the Braisa have to specify a Muberis, a pregnant woman? Why is she different than any other large woman? To teach us that since this woman carries extra weight in her belly, she's carrying the fetus, therefore the belly is where the weight is, and that's an extra weight. L'may nafkamina, why do we need to have to know this? Says the Gemara, l'mekka chamemka, to teach us that if one buys a large fish, first the intestines should be emptied out, and then the fish should be weighed, because when it has all of that weight carrying in its belly, it weighs extra. That's how Rashi explains the Gemara. Rabbeinu Tam explains the Gemara somewhat differently. Rabbeinu Tam says what the Gemara is teaching us is that the weight of a woman who's carrying her baby still in her womb is more than the weight if you have the baby already born. In other words, a menekes who just had a baby and was carrying the menekes and her baby, the weight will not be as much as when the baby is still in the womb of its mother. That combined weight will be greater. The mother and its fetus is heavier than the weight of the baby that was already born and its mother. So how will the Rabbeinu Tam explain Lamecha Chamemker, that if somebody buys a fish, even if he's going to have to pay for the intestines, let's say he wants that part of the fish, he should not weigh the fish as one whole fish. Rather, he should cut open the fish and weigh the fish separately and the insides of the fish separately, which will cause lower weight.